Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and welcome to the Blessings of Christ Today. You are all so welcome to be here. So embraced in the arms of love. So I just want you to relax, be yourself, open up, and let the blessings pour in. We are very fortunate also and blessed to have Nancy Freeborg with us today. So she is going to be Nancy, our board. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be here today.
Well,
I hope everyone's having a great day. Oh, good.
No, it's a beautiful day here. And I hope it's at least a peaceful day everywhere else. We're going to pray for all those points in our world, in our life, that are not exactly exemplifying peace right now, but we know that we know somebody who can help bring it into a state of peace. So we're going to ask for that help on your behalf. Nancy, how is life with you?
Really good. We went to the coast for spring break, and we had the kids down there, and but it did get kind of cold. It was an interesting week, warm weather for the first part, and then everything dipped. I'm sure it did up there, too. But always beautiful. It's always so different. You know, the water one day was green and crystal blue, and the next day it was churned up and brown and white. So it's just fascinating to me how it all changes, you know, right in front of you, really. It's amazing.
Oh, I know. I spent many years down there. And sometimes the winters were not the winter haven that people think of it.
Right, absolutely. It was surprising.
But
it was. Yeah, it was nice.
Glad you had a few spring days.
We did, and that was really nice. So thought about y'all, and we got to do the call there on Sunday, so that was fun. Anyway, but we're doing great, and. Enjoying life, enjoying kids, and seeing the miraculous nature of this beautiful universe we're part of. But what a gift every day, you know. Innocent perception really helps just to see everything anew, and you can sort of really get through things when you do that. And it's been really nice. Just I have a good partner, so I can't complain. So
that's right.
He helps.
That's right.
Yeah.
You have a wonderful partner and a beautiful family.
Thank you.
And
well, we have a caller online already, but welcome everybody, and feel free to jump on in. We just have one at this point, so if you have something you want to share, we'd love to have.
It is the press star 6, and then follow the prompt to press 1, and that will put you in on our board, and you can either ask for a blessing, celebrate the day, give gratitude for blessings already received, just whatever your heart directs you to do. We do try to keep our comments, I wouldn't say brief because I don't want to cut you off, but we don't want them to turn into lectures because we often have as many as 20 callers and we got to fit them all in during our time. But we've just got one now, so let's bring her on.
I'm going to bring her on. Nancy, hi. Your line is open. Can you hear us?
Hey, it's Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Hi, Glenda.
Hi, Nancy.
How are you doing? Oh, anyway, it is a glorious day out there. And I just wanted to tell you that I know we had prayers for my sister and the brain surgery. They did take out the thing in question in her frontal lobe, and it is not cancerous. It's just something the body does, and so they're going to keep an eye on it and keep monitoring what is going on. She's still a little weak from getting on, you know, having brain surgery. So, you know, keep her in her prayers, you know, that when she comes back to 100%, and right now she says she's about 70%. So,
that's not
you know, That is, I'm so pleased. I just wanted to pass on the wonderful news that she is doing just fine. My cousin who has prostate cancer is going through the protocols, you know, chemo and radiation. So keep him in the prayers, and everything is just fine.
That's so good. I just wanted you to know.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you. And we'll remember you, too, because I know that it's a stretch to keep up with your loved ones.
And yet it is so much fun to keep up, have loved ones to keep up with.
That's true. That is true.
So, thank you so much. And you all have a wonderful day. It's gorgeous out there.
Oh, I know. It's a little bit cool up here. It looks so good. I went out without a jacket, and then I rethought that and went back to get one. But it is gorgeous, and I'm going to go out after our blessing.
Me too.
Good.
Me
good. Too. Well, this is very unusual for us. We don't have any more on the board. Okay, you guys, come on. Let's hear from you. There's Caroline.
Well,
I
do have a question if I'm still on.
You do? You are? You can?
Well, there's somebody talk about dimensional shifting and going to, you know, the parallel universes and dimensions and things. I know that in a way it's very hard for us to put on labels, but it, you know, in a way it's kind of easier for our little third dimensional minds to grasp the great and the wonderful, you know, that is God. So, and you know, so every now and then, you know, they're talking about a big dimensional shift and everything, or is that just an awakening, or where some of us will understand there's, you know, we're just getting better, or just changing or transitioning.
Well, I'm going to respond. All right. It's a very important topic, but I don't think any of us have an exact way of describing the phenomena right now, but I can give you two experiences of my own that may add some understanding. One is that it actually has been, I wouldn't say discovered so much as demonstrated, that even in our physical universe, there are layers with other universes that run parallel to this, because we have bumped into those. We've bumped up to them and bumped down to them and sideways. One of the books I would recommend you, anyone interested in this, would read would be Lisa Randall, called Warped Universes. And it's because there's a time-space warp that in places brings us into conjunct with parallel creations. So we have pretty much found agreement that we will to discover more about that in the future, although we don't know much about it right now. The other thing that I would respond to with my personal experience is that I really have joyful days where I have the great privilege of learning about people's miracles, learning about their blossoming life, that is just turning wonderfully to the better, and opportunities sprouting up for them, like bulbs in the garden coming up after winter. You know, I hear about these things. Then I get on the news, and it's like we're walking on the floor of hell. And these two realities are going concurrently. And something has to be interfering with the cause and effect. In other words, the goodness that is on one plane is not redeeming all of this horror on the lower plane. And the lower plane is actually not destroying the right and privilege of others to walk on the streets of heaven. So there's got to be parallel dimensions here. Got to be. I don't know what they are. I don't know how they work. But I do know that our connection with the higher realm is through the heart. I do know that the way we move out of all of these horrible conditions is to look up and walk up and find our heaven from within ourselves, but placed on a higher level. And Yeshua described that to the apostles when he was with them. So it does seem that there is development, I would say. Okay, development towards two dimensions of living, two parallel dimensions of living. I don't think I want to say that, no, there's another three-dimensional layer that all we have to do is get in an elevator and go up to it. No, I don't think it's like that. I think it's more like the choice we make about our attitudes toward life and our decisions to walk upwards in the way we live our life, and to do so without condemning those who don't have the way currently. But hopefully we help, at least in our blessing, and anyone can in this world, in their prayers and their connection to God, to bring more people into a space of wholeness where the trouble in their life is remedied. And then once it's remedied, it's lifted up and embellished to something much, much better. So there is this multiplicity of opportunity, shall we say, right now. I'm not going to go so far to say dimensions, but there is multiplicity of opportunity, and it does exist. And when you put the better opportunity in full place, in full gear, it almost seems like, like you're in a different world. It really does, and it's open to anybody. But it does take restraint from getting involved in conflict and dialogues that are actually negative on both sides. It's bad enough to be in an argument between good and bad, but when you're in an argument between bad and bad, it's like there's no way out, and that's what you find on the news. So that's my response, Nancy. And we need to go on to Carolyn now, because like I said before, we're not going to let these turn into lectures. Okay?
Thank you.
All
right. Okay, we have Caroline. Hi. Can you hear us?
Hi.
Hi.
Glenda, would you tell us the title of that book again by Lisa Randall? I didn't catch it. Something Universes that you were recommending?
I am at a moment slightly forgetting one part of it, but the first word is warped. If you put Lisa Randall into Google and put warped, you'll find it. It's a very famous book. She won many awards for her research. She's a very recognized physicist, and that is her, you might say her logo, her contribution to extended cosmological physics and astrodynamics. So I think it is Warped Universes, but after I said that, I almost wanted to revise myself and say Warped Spaces. You can try both. It's been a while.
Okay.
I actually own the book, but it's been a while since I read it. And
I'll check that out.
You will find it. And it's actually very readable.
Great. Well, thank you for that. And I wanted to ask for a blessing for some family issues going on. I'm having issues with my ex-husband over an agreement that we signed. That's the first thing, and I'd like blessing for that to resolve in the best way for all. And then my youngest son, who still works in my ex-husband's company, there are some major problems with that, and it's not really the best place for him to be. So I really would like some blessings for him to find his true life path and a job that is really satisfying and beneficial for him. So that's my hope, and his name is Dominic. So blessings for him and for him to find a life path and a good job that really is working on his skills. That's the first thing. And the second thing is not a blessing. I had a question that I've always been intrigued by. I know you have painted beautiful paintings of the angels, and I wondered whether did you actually see those in actuality? Have you actually seen all the different angels to be able to depict them so well, or was it more out of your imagination?
No, I actually saw them, but some of the embellishment comes from my creative mind. I was commissioned to paint people's angels, and I would have an interview with them, sometimes several interviews, and we would call the angels, and they would appear to me, not always when I was talking with their person in protection, but within my dreams or my visions in the next few days, they would float through the air and I would see them. And it usually, or at least in the beginning, was more like flutterings of color and light and movement, kind of like a bird in the wind. And at times they would choose to create an outward image that could be used for identifying them. Let's put it that way. So it was
that the same thing with
many impressions.
Wow. So was that the same thing with the archangels too?
Oh yes.
In terms of you saw them both as physical reality and as sort of just ideas of color and shape.
Well, the archangels came in at a very interesting time in my life. I had just completed painting, I completed the Lamb and the Lion and his mother with the baby. And it was like, you can't follow that act. I was thinking my career as an artist was over. I mean, where do I go from here unless he shows up for me to paint it more times, which he did once more. I was really concerned that my artistic career was over, and I prayed for guidance, and an angel actually appeared to me. And the angel, I'm not going to take time for the whole story because it might take 10 minutes, and we're not going to use that time today. But anyway, they appeared to me, and they told me to paint a prayer screen. How would I do that? I didn't know, so I went to Lowe's through lumber and things to make build a prayer screen, and I was led to this section of the store that had these beautiful white ash doors, the kind you built folding closets out of. And I thought, you know, that would be a wonderful ground to paint a prayer screen on. And I wasn't thinking about what I would put on a prayer screen. I was thinking about crosses and candles and flower arrangements or something of the sort, you know. Didn't occur to me I was talking about angels. Anyway, so I bopped in and prepared the ground, and I just decided to start painting. And as I started to paint, shapes would emerge out of the wood. And I followed the grain of the wood to bring these shapes out, and pretty soon I was looking at an angel. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm painting an angel. And then they went on until all of the angels were painted, and they all emerged out of the grains of wood.
Wow.
Which
have
really
you written about that? Have you written about that in any of your books?
I believe so. I believe it's in, Nancy, help me remember. It's in The Keys of Yeshua, right? No,
definitely.
It's actually in Love Without End. It's in The Keys of Yeshua. Yeah, where I tell about.
Yeah. It's in one of
wow.
them. But it's definitely.
I've read both, and I don't remember that
no,
story.
No, no.
So
I'll tell you where it is. I'll tell you where it is. It's way to the way to a greater life. That's where it is.
Okay.
I removed some of my anecdotal, my personal anecdotal stories from Love Without End because I did not want that book to be about me. It's about him. And, sure, I was part of it as a conversational, partner. But other than that, I did not want it to be about me. But I also didn't want to lose the stories because over the years, people will ask me the same thing you just did, Carolyn. You know, they want to know the rest of the story. So I did save it until there was an appropriate place. And I think I referred to it in The Keys of Yeshua, but not in detail. But the whole story and Gunner, the story of Gunner, is in a way to the way to a greater life. So it's a book about, and the reason I found it appropriate is because through the centuries he has appeared to many people. Some of them were elevated to the level of saints. For example, he appeared to Paul, and that's how Paul became an apostle. I mean, Paul was an enemy of the Christians. He was killing them. Well, Yeshua appeared to him as a light. He says, why are you persecuting me, Paul? Well, the bright light blinded him. And the rest of the story is in Paul's words in the New Testament. Anyway, so that was one of the first that he converted by an appearance. And then many others through the decades and centuries, one of them being St. Francis of Assisi, I think, if I remember this correctly, I don't believe there has been any of the great teachers elevated to sainthood that he did not appear to, or at least expedite miracles through. In fact, to be elevated to a saint, you have to have been the conduit. I wouldn't say perform, because he does all the miracles, but be a conduit for at least three miracles that are bona fide and can be proven by a council attending to the Pope. So there was some debate over that before Mother Teresa was elevated to the Blessed Mother Teresa. And there has been debate over others who were submitted for elevation. Well, where were their miracles, or did he appear to them? Okay, but that's not all he's appeared. He's appeared to millions of people, literally millions of people. There are stories of him appearing to soldiers on a battlefield and giving them the way out. There are stories of him appearing to all of the tribes of humanity in the century after he rose and departed from the apostles. He was busy appearing to other people all over the world. So he has appeared to millions. I'm only selected for the work I do. I'm not selected because of how great I was. You know, and it's pretty humbling to have been selected. But to get to the point is that the way to a greater life is all about the saints and how they were called and the work they did. And I included Gunner in that because as far as I'm concerned, if there is a cat in heaven, it would be Gunner. Mm-hmm. You know, he was the guy who would make friends with a mouse. And not only that, if there was a mouse around, the mouse would come to him with no fear and curl up and sleep with him. So when when somebody is not afraid of you, that's a pretty special somebody. So, you know, and he chose his own point of departure, not I, and nor did he die of disease. So he deserved to be included in that book. And I told my story, not that I in any way am a saint, but I do serve the Lord. And I had a special, shall we say, salvation from being a denying human into being a servant of the Lord. So that's where I felt the story belonged. And there are lots of wonderful stories.
It is. It's in that book, Glenda. And it's on chapter 7, just to let people know. It's in Life Goes On, chapter 7. So, yeah, I found it. So just
okay, correct. Which book, Nancy?
The Way to a Greater Life.
Yeah. The Way to a Greater Life.
Yes. It's a delightful book.
It
really
is. Yeah.
And, you know, I brought out the anecdotal parts of the saints to show how much they were real people who really suffered and really had a sense of humor and really tried their best, and yet they were always in devotion to the Lord. So I think you'll enjoy it. And I felt that such a book was necessary, you know, because
that's a great book for everybody to read along with the other two.
Definitely.
Well, thank you for all the blessings and fabulous stories, and there's always gems every week. So love to all, and thank you.
Well, all right. Well, we need somebody else on the board. We must be having one of those non-speaking meditations today. Sometimes you have to go to a monastery to have one of those. But
well, let's have a let me.
Go ahead, Caroline. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I was just saying yes. One of the things that I'd really love blessings for is for a peaceful resolution of the Ukrainian and Russian war. I don't believe that Putin is the only villain in the peace there. There's a lot of very strange politics, but the huge collateral damage to the Russian people and to the Ukrainian people is appalling. And so I would love to have blessings from the community to find a resolution to that and all the suffering of both the Ukrainian and the Russian people.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen, and I totally agree with the comment you made. And I really do believe the villains are somewhere else, and they're playing Russia against Ukraine and Ukraine against Russia. What we all need to discover is the love that we are, because that's where we will find our pathway to peace and our way to disconnect from manipulation that's coming about in the world. And we're living in some crazy times where so many thoughts that we could have during the day, no matter how elevated we are in our thinking, we have to step back and say, why did I think that? That's not me. Well, that's a good thing to realize frequently, because there are many, many forces of manipulation going on right now. And it's causing people to argue about nothing and for no reason. And then the argument becomes the reason.
Right.
Now that the Ukraine and Russia are in war, the war is enough to keep them hating each other. It's like two people that start to fight and then they stop and say, what are we fighting about? And the other says, I don't remember. But I got so mad at you that you were fighting me. And the other one says, yeah, I'm really mad at you because you're fighting me. What started all this? Well, I don't remember. You know? There's a lot of that, which is the fundamental truth that we need to get back to it.
Yeah.
Those two countries could live together very peacefully and very productively. There is no reason they couldn't. None. But it's benefiting someone somewhere else that there's a war.
Yeah, well, sadly, war is very profitable for a lot of different people and organizations. That's the tragedy.
Unfortunately.
Well, hopefully the corruption gets exposed and the healing begins, because it doesn't benefit anybody, that's for sure.
And, you know, you get really down to the bottom line. If we are all brothers and sisters, not only of one heavenly father, but even by lineage, one earthly mother, there is absolutely no reason we cannot find a peaceful way to coexist. No reason.
Except for the fact that people have to wake up to know they have the capacity to be that. I think they get too used to their ingrained attitudes, and for me, the blessing is to have people wake up to the love that they are and understand, you know, that connection is just vital.
Yes.
Amen, Nancy.
Right. Amen. Okay, dear. Well, we are going to move on to Vicki in Jacksonville.
Love you, Caroline. Love you.
Love you, too.
Okay, Vicki, hi. We're happy you're here today.
Well, hello. I'm happy to be here. And since you called out for someone else to speak, I thought, okay, I'm going to ask the question that came to my mind after last Sunday's call. And hello, you both, Glenda and Nancy, and the community first. I hope you all are doing well.
We are.
The lady that spoke up at the end of our call last Sunday, Glenda, it was so beautiful that she asked for the blessings of monetary gifts to come to you. And that meant a lot to me, because about 2 or 3 months ago, it became a focus for me that it was something I had not tended to, like I felt 2 or 3 months ago, I just felt very, very compelled. And so I wanted to ask a question. Is going through the donation either in the bookstore, in Inspired Origination bookstore, or like the email that you send us for our Sunday Christ Blessing call? I know there's a link for donations. Is that the best way to do such?
Well, there are actually two ways. That either way I'm going to tell you about will go to the church. And it's important for you, and also important for everybody to understand that all of these donations go to the church. The church then pays me for my needs. I have a vow of poverty, which means I take no money whatsoever from anything. And the church takes care of my needs, whether it's food, medical, housing, clothes, cell phone, which I'm on right now. Whatever my needs are, the church takes care of it. But for the most part, money that goes to the church takes care of our ability to be present in the world. And we are present in the world many different ways, through the development of products that extend his message, in whether by art or by word, by recording, seminars, our daily blessings. And unfortunately, all of this costs money. And the church takes care of them. They do. We have mission statements of stations in other countries. And we don't have much money to give them, and they don't require much, but we make sure they've got a telephone contact connection so they can be on the blessing call on Sunday. And we do send them books that they can share and we provide live connections so they can study with certain documents. So we do have, the church has some expenses. We are not an elaborate church that just owns real estate and makes investments. Actually, we don't own any real estate. The car is about the largest piece of property the church owns. And we have never charged for the blessing and never will. Never, because there are too many people who need to know that they can trust a gift of love without there being some string attached. And so that's why I don't ask for donations on our blessings call, because I don't want anyone to think that they are less loved, less appreciated, or less welcome if they don't give anything. And so I just thought I should explain it a little more, but your tithes are important to us, and actually they're important to you because we do live in a material world, and it's so easy to think that our spiritual reality is actually intangible. It's not tangible. But the fact is, God is in everything. God is in the physical world. And if we want a better version of the physical world, it's important to make our spiritual life physical and to have physical acknowledgement of our spiritual life. And that is really the original reason for the tithe, the principle of tithing that was given to Moses by God, because we need to put back into this physical, material realm the spirit that we are, so that we do not separate spirit from material life. That's how we're going to build heaven on earth, one brick at a time. And so thank you for bringing that up. And yes, we do very, very much appreciate that, and it keeps us going. We do need a little. Yeah.
So Glenda, the two ways that she was asking, the one, did you cover that? That
they
one
both,
was through the link on the donation?
The link on our email work is fine. It will go to the same place, or go to our store and click on donations, and you get to put in the amount that you want to put in, and you can put in 50 cents. It doesn't have to be a lot. Just whatever you feel like at that moment, put it in. And it's a good routine. It actually is a good routine to get on. Giving back is a good routine. And the other way is to send a check. Now, if you send a check, it will be deposited. Do not make it out to me. Make it out to Spiritus Church of Christ Blessing. And it will go directly into the bank account, not to me. Do not ever make a check out to me unless you're giving me a birthday present. That's okay. But for your tithing, it's not to me at all.
I have a question. Is there a way to make it recurring?
That's a very good question, Nancy. And I'll ask my webmaster about that.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people donate to certain things and they want to just have it just done, you know. Of course it's a great action to do every single week or month or whatever works for you. And I would love to say to the community, I meant to bring it up last week, and I thank you, Helen, for bringing it up, and also Vicki for you bringing it up again, because, you know, Glenda doesn't, she's transparent, but she's private and doesn't really ever ask for any help or anything like that. And she works like a Trojan and, you know, does everything by herself. So, and it would really help for her to be free to do all the things that she wanted to do if, you know, we all stepped up in a way that would kind of ameliorate some of those challenges with the physical, you know, side of, you know, the material side of things. So that's just my little piece there.
Well, that is a very good question. I will give it to our webmaster. I don't have the answer. But you brought up something I do want to share with everybody, because I get so excited about things I'm going to create with Yeshua. I have announced on several occasions in the past over the years that I've been accumulating more and more material for books. I've got enough material now for 54 short books. But I'm thinking about, instead of short books, I'll turn these short books into chapters within larger books. But I want to get started on that this year. This is the year. Yeah, I've been saying for ages and ages, I'm going to do it. But I'm going to do it doesn't get it done. This year, I'm doing it. In fact, I had a conversation with my webmaster yesterday about how we're going to orchestrate this, how we're going to promote it, how we're going to bring those documents into a way that I can convert them easier. So we're already in preliminary production. We're doing it this year. And that means I need to have the time to write, the time to produce. And you're going to be glad that I did, because the material that is there is what the world needs right now. It doesn't need it 3 years from now. It needs it right now. And so I'm devoting this year to that. And so your support for that would be very, very appreciated.
Thank you, Glenda, for all you do. And thank you for telling us that, because it's going to be an incredible blessing to all of us and to our world. So, gosh,
and
wonderful.
And you know what? Tithing doesn't always come in the way of money. For example, Nancy, you give up your time every Sunday, and I appreciate it so much. And that's a tangible blessing. That's a tangible gift. And there are people who might want to be readers for this book, for these books, who might want to be readers and responders and, editors. So there are lots of ways you can fight the friend. The importance of tithing is that you put your spirit into action. That's it. And lots of people don't have a way to do that other than giving of their earnings doing other things. So they take a portion of their earnings in doing other things and give it back to God. So that's a good way anybody can give. But that's not the only way you can give. You know, lots of people serve with their life. They do magnificent service, and I think of the beautiful nuns that do that. They've just consecrated their life to be there for other people and others in ministry. So I'm one of these people that no matter what subject you give me, I'll broaden it.
Yeah, for sure. You're a teacher, a master professor, for sure. Well, Vicki, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Can we have some more callers? Are you good, Vicki?
Yes, thank you. I just want to say thank you so much, Glenda, for sharing all of that detail, because it answers a lot of my questions. And I'd like to add, I have thought for years of how I would love to help you with editing. I'm very good at that. So perhaps in the future I would be able to be of assistance.
Awesome.
Thank you, Vicki.
You know what you could do? That would really, really be helpful. Write me a physical letter. Unfortunately, I get so many emails. Even the ones I put gold stars on get lost. And when I get a physical letter from somebody, I put it in a file folder. Send me a letter. Let me know that. And I'll put on the folder, contributors to the book. How's that?
Very good. Very good. That'd be wonderful, and I will do that. Thank you, Glenda.
And
I love you.
I love you, too, and you so much, so much, so much. You'll find my address online. You'll find it on our weekly emails. And I want to apologize that I haven't been getting out our sunset meditations for a few months. I have actually had to give myself time to not be on the clock, because I'm still in a very deep need for healing and recovery from the hard 3 years I had. And I've discovered that healing is not on the clock. And that brings us back to receiving the blessings, a very important message for you. Healing is not on the clock. It comes in God's time. It comes in nature's time. It comes in the timing of your body or in the timing of your relationship or the timing of opportunities around you. Healing is not on the clock. You've got to give yourself an opportunity to be responsive, open, and a little bit serendipitous in your response to life. Like you weren't really planning to go out, and but the sun's out. You say, you know, I think I'll go grocery shopping and see what's there. You're not making a big deal about it, but you just get out. And then there's a blockade on the road which forces you to go down a street you've never gone down before. And then you see something down that street that makes you have one of those thank you, God moments. You know, just being a little serendipitous, spontaneous, open to flow, open to change will bring these blessings into place because blessings have to be folded into you. It's almost an obvious thing that I say this, but we all miss it, including myself, and that is that if the third dimensional world could have fixed your problem, it already would have. So the answer to your problem is probably not coming from the third dimensional world. It's probably going to come from a friend, a call you didn't expect, an idea you get, something that is bleeding in from all of these other spaces and places around you that are not structured in a three-dimensional form. You've got to be open to that. And I think, actually, I haven't counted, but I'm going to because I've made this statement so many times, I need to back it up with facts. But certainly one of the most frequently repeated teachings of the apostles to the churches was about waiting on the Lord. And they did not mean serving the Lord with lunch and dinner. They didn't mean that kind of waiting. They meant being patient. You pray and you wait. And you wait more because you're willing to be patient and your faith doesn't give out simply because you're required to be patient or because you're required to be flexible. You know, one of the pitfalls of a human ego is that it wants life to adapt to it. I want you to hold that as a meditation thought later, not right now, but the ego wants life to adapt to it. But the fact is, from the beginning of time, survival occurs because we adapt to possibilities, opportunities, creation, life, blessings, the will of God, the magnificence of creation. We adapt to it. And that's how we receive blessings. So don't be too rigid. You know, Yeshua, there's a whole chapter in Love Without End that talks about the falling, the collapsing of structure. And people have asked me many times, do you think that means there's going to be wars and earthquakes that cause all our buildings to fall down? And I think thoughtfully for a couple of minutes, it's like, no, I don't see that at all. Now, there will probably be some wars. Yes, those are prophesied. There will be a few earthquakes that's been prophesied. But that's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's referring to. Because you know what? There have always been wars. There's never been a time since humanity was created, since the two original brothers fought each other and one killed the other. There's never been a time when there wasn't a war. There's never been a time when there wasn't an earthquake somewhere on this earth. Never. Never, ever, ever. Okay, so I don't think that's what the prophecy was about. And yes, there are going to be some major ones, some big ones. You can be prepared for it, and don't think of it as punishment. It's just the earth has to grow also. But here's what I think it really is that we structure our reality and put our ego at the center of it. And then we come to the point where that isn't working. And we get pushed along the line of, oh, gosh, maybe I'm the one that has to change. Well, if you actually have that realization, you will make the change gracefully and with a minimum of stress. If you let the world show up and push you into change, that's where it will hurt the worst. So just remember, most of the changes that we're confronting are changes in how we get along. You know, Russia has not liked Ukraine for ages, and Ukraine doesn't trust Russia. Okay, well, that's got to change, or there won't be peace. Okay, there are other, the ways banks have controlled money and determined the price of gold and the value of the dollar or the franc or the yen or whatever it was, that's going to change. And I don't think Bitcoin is the answer, at least not at this point in its development. But it was the seed of a new beginning on currency being more freely created and flowing without government control. And, of course, we've seen some pretty bad debacles in that, showing that we've got a ways to go in getting that to properly working. But it arose, in case you don't know, it arose during the Great Recession of 2008 because some people knew it was going to be necessary. It was going to be required because the bailout that we're doing now for banks that are collapsing will break us in other areas of life, okay? That's a structure that's not working, my friend. And that's an example of what I believe he was talking about, was more infrastructure than structure. We need better forms of energy because our infrastructure for energy is going to play out, and there are wars being fought over it. We've got to find forms of energy that no one can fight over because they're plentiful. They're too plentiful for us to fight
there.
Over.
Right,
exactly.
And they're there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know, but we're not implementing it.
Well, maybe
you know,
we have to see with new eyes, right?
Yeah. Well, I wanted to make another comparison. You know, people think of the good old days in America when there was so much more freedom, so much respect for people. People got along better. And my instant comeback is, yeah, but do you know how cheap it was to live? Do you know how much available space there was? Like the old adage was, go west, young man. Plenty of space there. Go west. Make your home. Take your place in the field of freedom. You see, we didn't have these conflicts when people with different realities could just live in separate places. You know? The more we have things that are flexible and allow each of us to have our own field for adaptation, our own special regard and respect for other realities, we're going to get along, folks. There's nothing evil in people. We're just extremely, highly stressed. We're stressed to the breaking point. And that breaking point is the structure that will fall, just like banks collapsing. That breaking point is what will fall. Now, okay, that's my summation of the prophecy. Yeah, there will probably be earthquakes because our beautiful Earth is going to be under so much stress as well. But that's not what, that's not what's going to bring us down. It's really not. We're going to have to recover from what is causing this enormous level of stress, personally and collectively, and do something about it, because we're making life really hazardous, very hazardous. It's dangerous to get on the freeways today, literally. And it wasn't that way 30 years ago. And actually, when I was in college commuting 20 miles every day to class, I drove probably on the average 90 miles an hour. Nobody stopped me, and I was so far from any other car, I couldn't be a problem to any other car, really. And I didn't even wear seatbelts. We didn't think about those things. We weren't there. We weren't in that place. Now we think about every form of hazard protection. And what does that do to the mind? It causes more stress. So do whatever you can in your life, in your world, to remedy the stress you have taken in. Prayer and meditation. Loving one another is the greatest answer I ever heard. It's the best, the very best. And doing good things for one another. Letting people know that people still care. It makes a big difference. Okay.
Makes a big difference. Thank you. So good.
Thank you for blessing us. Yeah, thank you for blessing us with all that, Glenda, so much. Much love to both of you.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Vicki. Bye-bye. Glenda, we have Helen.
Hey.
Hello, Helen.
Hi. Well, thank you to the lady who responded to my call last week. Wonderful, wonderful. I was thinking in terms of creating a foundation of money that Glenda can depend on so that she can get on with the work that she needs to do, which is what we all want, the books, hopefully more paintings, inspired paintings of Yeshua. So if we could each of us reach into our comfort level of what we can comfortably give without stressing ourselves, whether it's $5, $10, $25, $50, $100 a month plus, then we can create a nice foundation base for Glenda to be able to be free from the daily grind and her coughing issue so that she can focus on, okay, let's get on with the books. Let's get on with the painting. And I tell you, I was, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, I think, I was at the grocery store at HEB, and there was a young couple with 2 children. And I sort of got in front of them. They were in the line, but they were very polite, and they were a little bit further back. And I got in front of them, and then they sort of pointed out to me that they were in line. I said, oh, my God, I didn't realize that. And then this thought came into my mind. Well, I was saying I'm going to give money to this people and this people. I said, well, do it for goodness sake. I mean, you keep talking about it. Just do it. So I heard their story, and I said, here, let me write you a check. And I gave them $1,000. Because, and you know what? It wasn't me who decided that. It was Jesus. Yeshua.
Yeah.
It was inspired. I did it, and I felt fantastic. It felt so good. I was high for quite a long time. I felt so good.
Oh.
That is so good.
But
with Glenda, because we know she has so much work to do, if we could all of us reach what is comfortable and righteous that we know we can do without putting some more stress in our life, then we can, create $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 a month, all of us, that she can depend on, and she can budget herself 3 months before the month, and then she can feel easier so she can comfortably get on with her work. And that's what I was, to provide for all of us, to bless Glenda, all the blessings that she gives us. So that's where, and thank you for responding, young lady. Wonderful. Thank you. That's it.
Yes. Thank you so much, Helen. You humble me. You really do.
Oh, thank you. How about that? I mean, I'm a little person here living in the woods with my cats and my new dogs, and, I have you guys for family and company. Thank God for that. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you brought, this is a total change of subject, but I think it's a valuable contribution because you first said Jesus, then you said Yeshua, and I thought, you know, I don't want anyone to ever feel uncomfortable with the name Jesus. The name Jesus is precious to most Christians in the English-speaking world. And I want to clarify a little bit about that name so that it doesn't seem as though I'm trying to correct anything.
Yes.
Jesus did not exist as a name, as a word, until the Gutenberg Bible was being written. The Bible was being translated into English. It was being translated into English, and it was part becoming the foundation for the Protestant version of Christianity. And they wanted a name that was part of the English language. And, you know, really, that is no different than his name being translated into Hindi, into Swahili, into German. His name has been translated into every language of the world, as it should be, because he is the Lord of us all. No culture, no language exempted. And so his name deserves to be in every language and to be honored for who he is in every language. And I don't want the lovely Hispanic people that come to work for me to look at this portrait and say, and not say Jesus. They'll say, oh, Jesus. And I'll say, yes. And I won't correct them and say Jesus. Or I won't correct them and say Yeshua. Now, the thing about Yeshua is that was his name when he walked on the earth. Because in Aramaic, it's still his name. Always has been, always will be. So his name belongs in every language. And if you enjoy saying his name in the original language that the apostles would have used, that his mother would have used, his uncle would have used, and all of the people he preached to in the Sermon on the Mount, if you want to use the name they used, then Yeshua is the name. So that's, and any name is divine. They all work, and he responds to every single one. And when I, if you notice, love without end, Jesus speaks, is that way because at that point, I didn't know him as anything but Jesus. It was only later in our relationship I began to ask about what his name was when he walked on the earth, because I knew it wasn't Jesus.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Helen. We have two more callers, Glenda.
Okay.
Thank you, Helen. We have Anne. Hi, Anne. I know you've been waiting. How are you today? Anne, can you hear us?
Yeah, she needs to unmute her phone.
Anne, your line is open. Welcome.
We're waiting for you, Anne. Well, maybe she stepped away. Why don't we take Ken's call, and then we can
We'll take Ken's call. And Anne, absolutely. Here we go. Ken, hi.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Glenda. Hello, Helen. It's a wonderful, wonderful call here this Sunday, and it's a little rainy where I am, but that's quite all right. This blessing is pretty much solely for me, and I discovered I had a doctor's appointment last week, and they gave me some news that I kind of really wasn't too pleased about. Not that I'm overjoyed or not over anything. but I've been basically dealing with some cancer in my prostate for a while, about a year or so, and the news was that it has metastasized, and so it is now a little deeper than where it was. And of course, they gave me lots of very, from their perspective, hopeful medical treatments. I can't necessarily say I'm too overjoyed with any of them. And so I guess my blessing is just to help me just really settle into where I want to anchor my integrity for this choice. And, you know, I don't have any issue with it running its course and me passing over. At the same time, I feel that any time that I can really embody my principles of health and life and everything, and to do it with integrity, hopefully we'll have a good outcome. And so that's kind of what I'm looking for. I don't really, not necessarily asking for miracles. It'd be nice, but I'm not expecting that. But just some good guidance on kind of the right path to take and maybe a few alternatives to kind of come on in and help me out through the pathway.
I have some things I'll share with you. Not now, but I will photocopy some information that I think will be helpful for you. So just expect that in the next week or two. In the meantime, we're going to send your message upstairs.
I think that sounds beautiful, Glenda.
Absolutely.
Well, there's nothing that God can't do.
That's right. You should expect a miracle, Ken. You deserve a miracle.
Yes, you do.
I feel like that we're all a miracle, and that the more that we can trust in that, the more that we can converse with that as the foundation of where we live our lives and where we what we try to put forth and create, then it always comes back around. And so this call has been that many times for me. Thank you.
Well said.
Thank you, Ken. Well, we love you, and we hold you in our prayers as well.
Thank you. Me as well.
God bless you, Ken. Well, Glenda, doesn't look like Ann has come back on. Ann, if you'd like to come back on, we're here. I hope you can hear us. If not, we are going to move forward.
Okay. Well, let's just move forward because we will hold Anne in our blessing, whether she talks or not. She is part of our heart, and we hold her dear. So let's just relax, everybody. Shake out. Let go of the stress. Let go of whatever conflict you have, turn it away from conflict into some form of positive management or just simply release. Let it go. It's not there right now. We are only here right now with God. And we will just relax, shake out. I would recommend you stand up, really, because that's so much easier to stretch your legs, okay? I'm going to put us on. Circle your legs, stretch them out, but keep your balance, please. Keep your balance and swing your body around a little bit on your legs. Turn your torso to the right and to the left so that you're opening up your spine. It's a very, very important thing because the blessing is going to be calling energy in through your body, passing it down into the earth, and then up from the earth through your head and back into divine space and upward beyond the atmosphere of this earth so that it can be completely free of influence from the earth, then it will return, come back again into the earth and back. And it happens very, very quickly, very, very quickly. It's such a high frequency, you won't notice it's moving, but you may feel a little kind of tingling or vibration. Some people do. Some people get God bumps because they notice something is there. I don't exactly know what it is, but it's there and it feels good. So take a deep breath, as deep as you can, and then expel the breath. Again, in. And then expel the breath out. Okay. Now we're going to do our four square breath, which is, we do this every week so that we stabilize your breathing. Your breathing is the energy of life. Your life began with your first breath. It will end with your last breath. It is your energy of life, and your breath is enwrapped in the breath of God and the breath of the Holy Spirit. So to be mindful of your breath is a very important spiritual skill and life management skill. Both of the above. So let us just exhale to the count of four. Your count, whatever works for you. Pause to the count of four. Again, your count. And then bring inhale to the count of four. And relax as you absorb that breath to the count of four. Go through that again, the same as before. And repeat it. This is a wonderful thing to do anytime you feel stress building up in your day, in your work, whatever while you're driving. This is a form of meditation you can actually do while you're driving because it will make you more alert, more focused. Will not take you away from your attention span. Okay, so continue this as I offer my prayer to Yeshua. Lord of life, Son of God, brother to us all, who has come and made the ultimate sacrifice to be as we are human, and showing us how to live fulfilled as children of God. The one who is leading us toward the kingdom of heaven that is within, that we shall cast upon the world, that a new earth can be built and born. We ask that all of our prayers be directed toward this heavenly goal, toward the benefit of everyone for whom we pray, toward the relief of pain, toward the banishing of fear and conflict. May we have peace on earth, and may we find what the bringing of peace looks like, who we have to be, how we have to be to bring peace, to bring understanding and love that can transform our world into the place we all so, so very much desire. We ask that you heal the sick. We ask that you feed the poor. We ask that you comfort the lonely and protect the children. We ask that you be with each member of our community for their needs of healing, their needs of solution, resolution, peace, personal development, and unburdening of troubles. We ask that you walk with them, that they may discover in your company the divinity that has been implanted in them. We ask all of these things in your holy name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in conveying the blessing? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now rest. Completely rest. Lie down. And it's okay if you go to sleep. God be with you. Receive all of your blessings without thought, without discussion, with your inner discussion. Not even more prayers. Just be a blank slate upon which the Word of God can be written. Bye-bye for now. And I hope to see you again next week. Bye-bye.